Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Good morning, Andy, and good morning to all of our Southern Utah listeners. We're glad you're here today. We're excited to bring you some important information and ways that we can answer your questions or make your senior life a little more fulfilled. Hopefully, by now, you all realize that if you have any questions or need any assistance with your senior care needs, we are your one-stop shop for all your senior care questions. Please feel free to give our office a call, Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, at 435-477-6999. We're here to help.
So, Andy, the weather's been kind of cold the last few days.
Yeah, we're going to be warm by Halloween, but yeah, it's been cool.
Well, you know, and it may be a little bit uncomfortable, but, you know, compared to the rest of Utah, we're in really good position.
Yeah, my daughter's up in Provo. She was freezing the last few days. Really cold.
Yeah, and even compared to the rest of the country, we are, you know, this is really a great place to be.
Yep.
And so that's kind of, let's start on the COVID good news with that. You know, things aren't really great. We can't say that, you know, everything's perfect here in Southern Utah when it comes to COVID testing, things like that. But what we can say is it's better here than the rest of Utah and that it is better here than most of the rest of the country. And it is significantly better in this country than it is in many other countries right now in Europe. You know, there's been some huge spikes. We've had significant increases here, but not not the problems that we've had elsewhere. And the other COVID good news is?
I'm not sure.
That we are still experiencing 99.7% recovery rate.
That is great news. That's really good news. And that's what we should be focusing on. We should be focusing on the good things in life. Focusing on recovery rates instead of death rates. Why? Because when we are stressed and when we focus on things that make us anxious, our immune system's lower. Our quality of life diminishes. When fear drives us, we tend to want to stay inside our homes and retreat, even away from conversations with loved ones, even if that's by phone or
Andy, video. You're involved in this news thing all the time. Do you notice that when it's all really bad news that it affects your day?
Yeah, I suppose so. It's definitely, well, one of the problems we run into in the news business, Richard, is that people want to hear the bad news.
Right.
And we'll do a couple of good stories in a row and people, I'll get an email saying, hey, what about, you know, the COVID count? How many people have died and things like that? So it's kind of a weird little mixed bag we have to deal with.
Right. So, but I think we can all agree that just focusing on the negative does not make it for a positive day. So,
sure.
So we'll pick out what we can and give that. And again, that the COVID good news is not, we're not trying to stand opposed to all the other information out there, but we are trying to give people a chance to look at it a little differently and realize that it may not be as bad as the news wants to make it.
And here's some good news for contemplation and consideration. We are approaching the holiday season, right? We have Halloween this week. We have Thanksgiving coming up and Christmas. Many of our elderly community are in facilities of one kind or another, rehabilitation centers, assisted living facilities.
Skilled nursing facilities.
Skilled nursing facilities, what have you. Well, the good news here is we are here to help. So COVID brought many people out of work, working from their homes, which opens up an opportunity for you with the correct support, and we can offer that.
That's right. In-home care, skilled nurses and other people to do those things that you might expect out of a facility.
Even caregivers to help you with your loved one in bathing and activities of daily living. But we are here to help you consider the possibility of bringing your loved one out of those skilled nursing facilities, those assisted living facilities and the rehabilitation centers, consider bringing them home. With the correct support, we can help you make that happen. We can help you facilitate that, especially over the holidays. And remember, everything's about choice. So you could try it for a while, see if it's working for you, see if it is enough support. And if it's not working, if it's just overwhelming and too much, you can move them back in the facility. So that's the one thing about Medicare. It is all about beneficiary's choice. You lose none of your benefits by making changes. So consider making the change over the holiday season. It'll be really important to not only your loved one who is struggling with their illness, but also to your family to have the opportunity to spend time with them. So give our office a call. Let us talk about what your hopes and desires are, what your goals are, what you think you could contribute. Find out what we can contribute. And let's see if we can make that happen for your loved ones. And even consider, for those of you who are hearing this message that have neighbors, perhaps their family members haven't considered or haven't heard us and haven't considered the possibility of bringing your neighbor, their loved one home. But with the correct support, they could make it happen. It could be a reality.
Right, because there is some percentage of this town that hasn't quite heard this radio program yet. We're surprised. But,
shocking.
Yeah, it is shocking, but we have to know that that's the case. And so if you can, just start that conversation, because those people in those facilities right now, while 2 years ago, a year ago, those were great opportunities to maybe be in a group environment and sharing good times and having family come in and visit, we all know that that's completely changed.
Right. Your loved ones can't visit like they did before.
And so those in facility care situations are not what they have been in the past. So if we can help you get in a position where you can have your loved ones come home with you and share this holiday season with you so that they can have a much better experience and you guys can have a better experience, we would like to help you do that.
To add to that, to take a little of your concern away or your fear that the care won't be sufficient, we want you to know that you do have a nurse come out regularly and is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In addition, we meet with your doctor a minimum of every 2 weeks and as needed throughout that time. Here's the big, big part that we should all focus on. Medicare allows us to provide those necessities to you for free. It is at no cost to the family, to the beneficiary. So please give our office a call, 435-477-6999. Let's consider bringing our loved ones home out of those inpatient facility care centers. Did you want to go on with that? Are you
nope.
done? Okay. Let's talk about some issues that as we age should be more of a goal to resolve.
Yeah, for many, these are uncomfortable issues, but the discomfort is usually driven by not being sure what you should do. Fear of doing it wrong or just wanting to take the chance. I mean, all of those things contribute to that. But let's consider that. Here's a quote by Debasish Midraha. Fear comes from lack of knowledge in a state of ignorance. The best remedy for fear is to gain knowledge.
Our goal here is to eliminate the smoke and mirrors and break this down into easily understood concepts. Once we have that foundational knowledge, we can get more knowledge, but we can also act with authority and make a plan that we feel confident with.
Yeah, so in my 3 decades of working with business owners and helping them strengthen their successes and protect what they've earned, we've certainly talked about estate processes, the traditional ones, and certainly some of the more complex and less common options. And these conversations, we've covered a lot of the smoke and mirrors, the claims that are made, and really gotten down to what the core value and ability that these things have. So if we can assess those claims and find out what the reality is, that makes more sense. So for some reason, in that category, there can be a lot of fantastical things that have been claimed. And so that usually leads to people being preyed on. And we don't want that to happen. The way to avoid that is, of course, be well-informed. So I'd like to do some myth-busting, and along with that, we'll set a foundation of good information. If you have a good base knowledge, it's easier to understand what each of these can and can't do and why.
Sure. If you have a good base knowledge, you know the questions to ask so that you can accomplish your specific personal goals. We are offering this information just for public consumption. We don't charge for any estate planning. We simply, again, one more resource for direction, for knowledge, for information to answer all your senior concerns, questions, help you plan and prepare.
Yeah, our goal is to just give everybody better information so that they can make better and informed decisions.
On that, before you get into this, let me just say, before I forget, it is Medicare's open enrollment period. That's important to you. We had several calls last week. As a matter of fact, I had three of you listeners out there call us the same day of our radio program to get direction on who they could call for a personal assessment of their current Medicare plan to determine if it was still working for them, if it was the best plan for them at this time. Happy to say that all three of those listeners called us back and said, oh my gosh, that company you referred us to for free again, no charge to you, was so wonderful. They saved them literally hundreds, close to $1,000 a year on their Medicare plans. So consider open enrollment. This is a good time to make sure you have the best plan. Oh, back to estate planning.
Well, and so our recommendation is always going to be to understand what you have and understand what's available so that you can make better informed decisions. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about here today. So, again, we don't do estate planning. There are plenty of people out there that do. If you were to call us, I'll answer any questions you have, give you a non-monetarily driven answer so that you can have some base knowledge. But if you were looking for a referral to estate planning, there are plenty of people out there that will do that. They're easy to find. That, you know, everybody's trying to do that for you, so that's all available. What we want you to do is be better informed before you take that step so that you get more out of what you're looking for.
Some of you might be asking, why would I take your advice?
So let's consider what the advice is, and I'll break this down and you guys can consider it. Our advice is be well informed. Our advice is do your own research, okay? And that means be your own best legal advocate. Our advice is when you're talking to somebody, ask questions until you feel confident you understand everything that is being offered. And if you don't, keep asking. And if they quit answering, find another source. So find reliable sources and gain that information for yourself. And very importantly, don't surrender your decision-making to someone that may have a different set of goals than you do.
Sometimes our assistance is really helping you explore what your goals are so that you do have the correct questions for the correct individual or the correct companies that you're looking to work with. That could be your attorney, accountants, what have you, or doctor. Important to know the right questions for your doctor.
Yeah. Everybody you work with, the better conversation you have with them, the better informed you're going to be. So in this, when we're exploring these estate documents, we're just going to talk about what they are and what they mean, and then you guys will be able to have a better understanding of why they may be important to you or why you have them.
Right. And the rest of this information or advice is just really information that you can use any way that you wish, but it will be beneficial information. So listen closely.
Right. And we're going to call them estate documents because there seems to be some smoke and mirrors, some mythic, you know, importance to something if we call it a testamentary will or a revocable family trust or something like that. So they're all just estate documents. It's just a document. So we'll use that term and understand that these are all intended to just be written instructions. If we write things down, it's easier for anybody to follow later.
The most common document that we're all familiar with is the will. Many of you probably already have them. Many of you think that you should have one, and you probably should.
Okay. So if you have a will, good. That may be one less stress in your life. However, for those of you who have a will, it should be updated regularly. If you haven't changed something in that will in the past couple of years, why don't you get it out and read it? Let your family read it. It doesn't need to be a secret.
It really shouldn't be a secret. Make sure your family knows in advance what your choices, your will is. It'll eliminate stresses on your loved ones after you pass.
That's right. And if you have a will, stay tuned because I think you'll find some good information as we go through this. If you don't have a will, don't despair. A will is not filled with magic understandable things. It doesn't have to roll up like a scroll on two wooden sticks. It doesn't have to be printed on special parchment paper. It doesn't have to look like it's handwritten in calligraphy with a goose quill and an inkpot. It doesn't even have to be written by an attorney that looks like Bob Cratchit or Ebenezer Scrooge. It doesn't have to be written by an attorney at all.
A will is simply a declaration about how you hope things will go after you pass away. It doesn't guarantee anything. It is just a list of suggestions. The type of paper or font it is written on and all the other gingerbread doesn't really matter. It's just an expression of your choices.
Right. It is no more powerful because it has a lot of flourishes in the letters. If you want to have a will, then we'd recommend that you have some knowledge to start your quest. I'm going to recommend that you read some wills.
Well, that doesn't sound like an exciting Friday night.
You know, it probably isn't an exciting Friday night, but it may not be as bad as spending. Sorry about that. It may not be as bad as spending 4 hours on a Tuesday, you know, just thumbing through channels trying to find something that's not a bunch of commercials worth watching. So keeping that in mind, maybe, you know, it's worth considering popping that out on those nights. And it's especially not as bad if you're not doing it alone.
Right. If you have a will already, think back on what is listed and what is not. Your assets and current financial position and even things that you want to bequeath to your loved ones may have changed. So remember back, take it out, brush the dust off, and figure out what it is that you want to do.
Right. So not all wills are equal. Not all wills are useful, are as useful as other wills.
What makes one will useful and another will useless is whether or not they are relevant to today.
That's right. So if you still have your 1972 light blue Mercury Cougar listed in your will, and that car is no longer in your garage, then maybe your will is a little less relevant. If your will references the house that you lived in Ogden that you sold to get out of that cold weather, then your will isn't so relevant. If it doesn't reference the new bank accounts that you have or your retirement account or the brokerage firm account, then it may not be relevant. And on the other side, if you are doing some generation skipping with some things and getting those to your grandkids, and you have only included your oldest 4 grandkids and the other 17 that you have aren't mentioned in your will, then it's not relevant.
Consider your personal assets. Even little mementos and tokens, perhaps jewelry, it does have a lot more meaning when it comes from you personally, and there's no argument about it in the end. So when it is identified specifically from you to somebody, it's going to have a lot more personal value, even if the monetary value is just really not that much.
Yeah, I could tell you a lot of personal stories about that, but yeah, we'll leave that for another time.
Right. But how can you change your will, Richard? How can you change it if it's already been signed, dated, and recorded?
Okay, so you've probably seen a movie or two where they all sat around in that dark room with an attorney behind a desk, and he rolls out this scroll and says, last will and testament. What makes it the last will and testament? Well, it's the last one that was written. There might have been 47 before that. This is just the last one, and that's what makes it relevant. So if you have a will, and you're going to update it, you are going to merely create a new one, which will be the last one until you create another one. That's really what that means, last will and testament. So it's intended, from its original intent, was for it to be changed and modified and updated. So you should do that.
Right. Things change, and so should your will.
Right. It's just a document. Again, it is intended to be a list of instructions to take care of your things when you no longer can take care of them.
Now, if you expect to go back to your attorney every time something changes, you are going to go broke. That's $150 to $350 an hour. Those hourly rates add up. So just consider you can make the changes yourself.
Right. Just like, you know, you could bring an electrician in to change a light bulb or check your circuit breaker, but you probably have enough knowledge to do those things, or maybe you could patch a hole in your gardening, grubbies. You don't have to take that to a seamstress. These are the kind of things that we can do. It's really just editing our inventory of personal assets. We can review our own personal documents and find a way to make them more relevant. Actually put our own thoughts and feelings in words. There's nothing wrong with that.
If you don't have a will, let's put ourselves at ease. What you imagine is not probably what is real. It would be an impossible task to sit down and write a will from the beginning to the end and hope that you have done everything correct. and that you've listed every asset and every little personal memento. Luckily, you don't have to do that.
And in fact, this process of reviewing your will allow you to go back and think of things that you might not have thought of when you were sitting in that attorney's office, you know, under the stress of knowing that it's costing you and whatever else. So here's what I think of what our recommendation is going to be. And this is our takeaway for today, your homework for the week. And that is find a few wills. Okay. Read them, find out what they say. They're not really that bad of a read. They may not be that interesting, but it's not too bad. I think you'll find that there's a lot of similarities.
It'll give you some direction as you sit down, put pen to paper, and start writing out your own. And remember, there's nothing magical about a will. You can make it look like a very legal document, or you can simply write it down on a pad of paper with a pen.
That's right.
And have, you know, your loved one or a family member of any type sign that they witnessed that is your signature and those are your wishes.
But what makes a will a good will is that it is clear, that it is well understood, easy to understand. In fact, the better statement would be hard to get wrong. Okay. We want a will to be a list of instructions that anybody could follow and come to the conclusion that you're hoping for. So we don't want to use voodoo verbiage. We don't want to use big, long words or, you know, twisted sentences.
Don't try and make it legalese. Yeah. Try to read very easily like a fifth grader could understand it.
That's right. So we just start writing down the things that you think are important, whether it's the list of assets or the people that you want to give those to. If you start making that list, that's going to be a great start to a will. And the truth is, if you just signed that, dated it, said, you know, this is my last will and testament, and somebody else came upon that, and we hope that you'll make it easy for somebody to find, then that's going to be that good foundation. So, again, no voodoo verbiage, nothing like that. But we're not asking you to write a will today. We're just asking you to read a couple of wills. So let me cover a couple of other things so that we're prepared here. There are some things about wills that we want to avoid. Certainly we don't want to make them too complicated. We also don't want to put too much of a burden on other people to come up with the conclusions that we're looking for. Okay. So those are some of the thought processes. So if you don't yet have a will, don't worry about it. We will walk you through this process so that you can be prepared to do it. And when you're looking for sample wills, you can call our office, our number, 435-477-6999. That's simply 477 on the left side and then 6999 on the right. Easiest number in St. George to remember. I'll give you a couple of examples. You can probably find some from family members. And again, if you have your own, that's a great one to start with to read. You might want to get your family together. Have your kids come and you can help them work on their estate while you're working on your own.
Well, and this really is a perfect opportunity to call the family together around the kitchen table and say, hey, is there any personal memento that would have, you know, a personal meaning to you? Let's kind of hash that out and make sure that everybody feels like they got the things that were important to them. I know this is silly, but when my mother passed away, we had this old kitchen clock that, it had a face and a hand that moved around. It was not digital.
And it had a cord that you had to plug in.
Yes, it did.
And in the 50s, they actually put power outlets in the wall up high just so that somebody could put a clock there. That was that kind of clock.
Right. But for some reason, you know, that clock was really important to one sister more than the other. It was just nice to know that every time she came in from the house, she checked to see if she was running late or not, and it was important to her. So put your desires down on paper. That's your assignment for the week. And give our office a call, 435-477-6999.